If you're a fan of the popular reality TV show RuPaul's Drag Race, or simply admire the art of drag, you might be interested in the documentary Ladylike. It's showing this week during the Milwaukee Film Festival. The film follows the story of London-born, San Francisco-based drag queen Lady Camden as she's catapulted into the spotlight in season 14 of RuPaul's Drag Race. It also takes an intimate look at Camden's life as she learns to navigate fame while coming to terms with her childhood experiences in London. To learn more about the making of this film, Camden joins Like Effect's Excrete Nunez.
Ladylike is a beautiful documentary that explores your life before, during, and after your season of RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Why did you and the director, Luke Willis, decide to make this film?
Well, it's a good question. Luke and I both come from like a ballet theater, super ballet bunhead background. We've both had careers on stage before his career in filmmaking and before my explosion of Lady Camden. And we'd already been working on like little mini films together throughout my season. We were sort of working on content essentially for Instagram so that we could have like fun, fierce things to post during the progression of my season. Just because we both like to do that kind of stuff. We both nerd out on creating mini stories and mini little sort of narrative videos and journeys. And in doing so, we were just creating kind of a lot of quality content and we were having a good time together. So I think that Luke already had in the back of his mind that he wanted to do a feature length something, maybe involving me, involving this sort of theatrical element to it. And when I was talking to him candidly about ballet, why it's important to me, and found like a safe space within the ballet world after, you know, getting bullied, like a lot of queer kids sort of experienced at school, ballet was the first like safe space for me. It was the first time I could feel super feminine and not be ridiculed for that. It was finally then that I realized I don't need a reason to dance. It just makes me happy. It makes me feel safe. And I think he related to that story from his own experiences, which is why he kind of got inspired to start following my journey, because I think he started to relate to it more than he realized.
And so, like you mentioned, this documentary is much more than your journey through Drag Race. It's very personal to your life. But by the end of it, I feel like you were my best friend. Like, I feel like I already know you.
Aww,
and I was just rooting for you. But how was filming it? How did you build that trust with Luke and let your walls down?
Well, first of all, we can always be best friends. Like, you can call me up anytime you like. You have my number now. You know, I'm not going to lie. It's definitely a weird, awkward experience to have someone following you around with a camera and ask you personal questions. I'm getting better, but I'm not very good at like being organized with my thoughts under pressure. So I think that during the airing of my season, a lot of queens experience this. There's just an influx of attention and texts and emails and needs and wants. And a lot of people need your attention and need something done from you or asking a lot of you. And if you're not used to that, it's a lot. So I think him filming me during all that process, I'm not going to lie, I didn't love every second of it. Sometimes I wanted to just be alone. But I think because I know Luke prior to this, I've gotten to know how sensitive as a person Luke is and how, you know, has a really big heart and is kind of a big softie like I am, like deep down. So I kind of had a feeling, I don't think Luke is going to throw me under the bus here. I think he's going to like try to do something beautiful with this as opposed to creating some sort of like World of Wonder expose or, you know, try to make me look like something that I'm not. I kind of just had a feeling that he's like hopeful like I am, and he's kind of the eternal optimist. So I sort of felt like I think he'll make something that I can sign off on with this, you know.
He's really thoughtful, and I feel like that definitely shined through the film.
Yeah,
like his thoughtfulness and the way he cared about you, and you were also vulnerable.
Yeah, I think there are times when you get so exhausted that you sort of don't give an F, and like you're like, this is who I am, this is what I'm going through right now, I'm tired. There's definitely like family stuff that comes up that is hard for me to watch back, but like, you know, you do learn to sort of give yourself grace and go, well, that's where I was at, that's how I was feeling, I was tired and upset, or I was happy. Every time I'm like, oh, I don't like that part, Luke, and he'll always explain why it's important in the film. And I think it's a good example of if I were to edit this and direct it, it would not be as interesting because I would only want you to see all the good stuff. And like, you know, I'd only want you to see the angles where I don't look exhausted and tired. But Luke is more of like the, this is why as a story and as an audience member, it's just more interesting. You know, we want to see the nitty gritty stuff.
And as a viewer, you're mentioning this. I felt like Ladylike was a love letter to the art of drag. But what were your thoughts when you first watched the film, like your first time?
You know, I think the awkward parts feel really awkward to watch. The fun celebratory moments are just fun to relive. I'm never sort of someone that wants people to like feel sorry for me or something. So I think it was hard for me to watch me talking about hardships because I just, my biggest fear is that people think that I'm like, oh my God, look, like my life is so hard. I feel so, you know, like that was the main worry. I'm not really that person. I'm more sort of like, well, here's the positive side. Let's move on. So that was hard. But I think my overall response was like, trying to be objective here. You watch someone go through so many ups and downs and, you know, ambitious goals and almost getting them kind of several times. I think at the end of it, you're able to look around and see, well, who were the people that were there by their side the entire time? And for me, like personally, not to spoil the film, but like at the end, there's a bit of a resolution of like, well, this happened, that didn't happen, this happened, that didn't happen. You know, I've always had a hard time really gaining the confidence to like fully be myself for like most of my life. And that's not really something you want to hear a drag queen say. You know, that's not what you expect them to say. But I think I learned sort of through the whole journey that there is a different way to sort of let everyone have it and be yourself. And it just might not look the way you thought it was going to look when you were 16.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of us have really specific goals at certain points in our lives. And it's fun to look back and go, it really was not what I thought it was going to be, but it's not bad. You know, it's great.
I love that. I love that. Because I think, yeah, of course, we tend to romanticize our futures or what we want for ourselves. And then when it doesn't pan out that way.
Right. I mean, I think it's good to do that too. Like everybody, you know, if you want to be Lady Gaga when you grow up, absolutely go for it. You know, age old saying, shoot for the stars, you'll end up on the moon kind of thing. And I've always believed in that. I've always sort of felt like, well, I'm going to be a little bit more ambitious than maybe I should just so that I'll get further than I would have. You know, I was like, I want to be a principal dancer with the Royal Ballet, knowing that maybe if I ended up being in the ensemble of the Royal Ballet, that the ambition to be at the top would have gotten me further than it would have otherwise. And that happens over and over again throughout my life, honestly. But the looking back on things and going, I'm glad I was open to my life taking different directions because it was a lot more colorful at the end of it. You know, I'm saying this as if I'm like dying, but like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I totally get it. And so in the film, you talk about how worried you are about how Drag Race fans will receive you on the show, especially in the first few episodes. You talk about being shy. But by the end of the season, you were a fierce competitor and became a fan favorite. How did being on the show affect your growth as a performer?
I think the one takeaway that I took immediately from that experience was look at the times where you really flourished and look at the times that you just kind of faded into the background and sort of just ask yourself, like, what is the difference? For me, the biggest difference was like, I was excited about this kind of thing and I wasn't that excited about that kind of thing. One of the things was like trusting your instincts and like entertaining yourself. And the other is like kind of just trying to do a good job, you know, trying to get A+ on something. So like I just learned, especially as a drag performer, the only thing that's really interesting is like a little peek into your heart and soul and what you think is going to be super fun to do and trying to do the sort of thing that might be good and get you brownie points or whatever. It's just not as interesting. Like your instincts are more powerful than you give yourself credit for. I remember, all the runways and moments where I just like really had a good time and I got like lost into it was when I felt like I was coming alive and just so not worried about the competition and just having fun. And then the other stuff was like heavy and hard because I was just worried about doing well. And so that's the stark difference between the two things.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that lesson that you learned with me. So I want to shift it to a little more serious note. During a time when there's such visceral hate toward the art of drag, this film really celebrates queer expression and is beautifully, really unapologetic about it. What does it mean to you to release this film right now?
I think a lot of people who are afraid of queer people or talk about this agenda that we have, or people that are just sort of against queer people having the rights to be a human and have human rights, are just really afraid of the unknown. And they don't know someone queer, they don't know someone who's a drag queen, they don't know a trans person. So they're afraid of what they don't know. They assume the worst. I think as humans, we do that. We are afraid of the unknown. We speculate, we come up with like a story in our mind of what the other side is wanting to do. This is just an example of someone living their life, going through their journey of self-acceptance, self-exploration in a way that doesn't affect or hurt anyone else. It's literally just a child growing up into someone that they've always dreamed of being, but sort of having to shed all the self-shame, shed all of the insecurities, shed a lot of like hard stuff that is put on you as you navigate this world as a teenager and as a young adult. And then at the other side of it going, you know what, I don't deserve that. I don't want that. All I deserve right now is just to like be myself, whether that means getting into drag or whatever that means. It's just really like an example of a queer person's life, which I think is something that people need to see. They need to see that we are beautiful, complicated, layered individuals that have opinions, and we want to be loved, and that's really it. We just want to navigate our lives freely. We just want to like do our thing and like make other people feel good along the way. There's no other objective here. There's nothing evil about it. There's nothing like, you know what I mean? There's nothing like dark or sinister. And yeah, I think that this film to me is like a love letter to my younger self too. I think it's like giving younger self permission to have fun and enjoy it. And, you know, a lot of my therapy has been looking back on times when like younger selves, whether you're like 9 or 16 or 21 or whatever it is, when they're triggered, when they've been through stuff, it's like looking back and trying to hold that kid's hand and like let them see what you've built and see what you've created and let them actually like go, wow, that's so cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's sort of what this film has meant to me personally. And I would love like younger queer people to see this and let themselves enjoy the good stuff that happens to them as it happens. Don't wait until you're in your 30s to look back and go, wow, that was cool. You know?
Mm-hmm. No, that was what I was going to ask you, is if you had any advice for current or up and coming performers.
You know, I think you're going to meet so many people in your life. You're going to be inspired by so much. I think you're going to want to sort of try to please a lot of people. I look around and like some of the best friends that I have today are the same best friends that I had when I was like 12. And you have a feeling in your heart who's good for you and who's maybe not. And I think you know instinctually what is good for you and what isn't. Like what jobs make you just like deeply really excited and happy, even if it might not impress other people as much or might not impress such and such. I think you know your instincts, what's going to make you like just grow to be a bigger, better rock star version of yourself, and what is going to kind of like stifle you and mute you. So I would say to any young people to not ignore that instinct, not ignore, I feel like this is my bestie and she loves me and she wants nothing but the best for me. Like hold on to those people. We all have them. And then we all have these people that we kind of want to impress, but they don't really care about us. And you know the difference. And I think that like I would just say to any young queer performer or artist or person, listen to your instincts, trust them. It's not your job to take care of everyone. It's your job to take care of yourself first and foremost, and then allow people to, you know, enjoy your journey with you, but ultimately make sure that you're taken care of first.
Well, Lady Camden, thank you so much for speaking with me today, and I'm really excited for more people to watch Ladylike.
Yay, me too. I'm excited for it to travel the world a little bit and maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, get a home online someday. We'll see.
Lady Camden is the focus of the documentary film Ladylike. She spoke with LegFX Axgrit Nunez. You can see the film this Thursday and Friday as a part of the Milwaukee Film Festival. You can also hear a longer version of this conversation at wuwm.com. Milwaukee Film is a financial contributor to WUWM.